what he is.
Yes, he is.
He's praise God. He has been, and he always will be, one of my greatest friends.
Amen.
And I appreciate him so much. Would you make Brother Clark Snow welcome tonight?
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Sweet Lord.
Wow.
Sweet.
Hallelujah.
We could call recess and just shout a while, I guess.
Amen.
There's nothing greater than being in the presence of the Lord. Nothing. Nothing. And tonight, as you come in this building, God has honored you by coming by for you tonight. What I love, Brother Allen, about God, God knows what I need before I even need it. And Brother Mike, he sees what I don't. He sees what I don't see. And he knows what I don't know. But I'm glad tonight he can do what I can't do. Amen. He can do it. And I'm honored to be here tonight. I'm so honored, Brother Jeremy. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. And Brother Derek, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for preaching this morning.
Amen.
That there's victory for the church.
Amen.
There's victory for it.
Amen.
And Brother Joplin, I want to thank you.
Yes, sir.
I want to thank you for that. Because if we'd just find God,
Amen.
We'd have victory in the church.
Amen.
I'll take just a minute. Let me get my nerves lined out here. I thought as Brother Joplin this morning was preaching about finding God, I leaned over to Brother Brian and I said, you know, Brother Brian, if the church would again just find God, we wouldn't have to worry what you preached about this morning. We'd have victory all the time. Our nation would be a different nation if the church would find God again. I believe that. I believe that. And I thank you, Brother Joplin, for preaching that. And
yes,
you kind of helped me. You kind of helped me tonight. And I appreciate you. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter number 6. Leviticus chapter number 6. I'm going to read just two verses there. And then I'm going to turn to 2 Kings chapter 6. And I'm going to read a few verses there. And I'd like to ask you to pray for me tonight. This is something that's, this thought's kind of, I don't know, I didn't preach this. This is kind of new for me. And so you pray for me tonight. Leviticus 6, when you get there, would you say amen?
Amen.
And whether you're there or not, would you stand? I want to read verses 11 through 13 in the book of Leviticus. It says this, "And he shall put off his garments and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp into a clean place."
Yes, sir.
Verse 12 says, "And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it, and it shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it, and he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings." Verse 13 says, "The fire," listen to this, "the fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out." 2 Kings 6 says, verse 1, "The sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too straight for us. Let us go, we pray thee, into Jordan, and take thence every man a beam. And let us make us a place there that we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. And he sent with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. And as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? He shoot him in the place, and he cut down a stick, and he cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, saith he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand, and he took it." With the Lord's help tonight, I want to preach from this little simple thought. seeking after something you've lost. Seeking after something you've lost. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We're thankful, oh God, tonight to be here. God, we thank you for what I feel within me. And God, I thank you for what I feel upon me. And God, tonight I ask as I stand here, just for a little bit of time, that God, that you would anoint me. God, I realize how insignificant that I am. But God, I realize how almighty you are. And God, I ask you tonight, God, just to preach through me. Open our ears, oh God, tonight that we'll hear. Open our hearts tonight, God, that we would receive. God, I pray tonight that we be sensitive to the Holy Ghost of God. I pray tonight, save any that may be lost. I pray, God, you'd stir your people that's grown cold. God, that when we all leave this building, God, we leave differently than when we came. And God, we will honor you for it all. And we'll praise you for it all. In Jesus' wonderful, wonderful name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. As Brother Joplin made this morning, how that we need to find God. How we need to find God. And it kind of ties in tonight with what I'm going to talk about. How many of you remember the early years of your Christian journey? You were on fire for God. Brother Jay, I remember at the little church in Subiaco at an altar of prayer, God changed and transformed my life. I knelt at an altar that night, Brother Allen. I was playing games with God. I've never seen a time, Brother Derek, in the church where folks are playing games with God. And they don't even really realize tonight, Brother Mike, what kind of game that they're playing. They're in and out like a revolving door. I know what that's like, Brother Bud. That's exactly what I was doing. We would play and let's make a deal with God. God, if you'll do this for me, I'll do that for you. But one day I got sick and tired of that game I was playing. It wasn't about what I'd do for God. It was all about what God could do for me. Amen. And when I knelt at an altar that night, God changed me and He transformed me. Brother Jay, there was things in my life that I thought I couldn't live without. But when I found the Lord, or the Lord found me, I found out that I could live without those things. I didn't need those things any. I didn't need them near as bad as what I thought I did. But I needed Him more than I needed my very next breath. And so tonight when I got saved, I started telling everybody that I knew about a God. I started telling everybody I knew about a church that they needed to come to. I believe tonight when you get where you need to be with God, you want everybody to know the God that you know. Amen. That you know. Nothing seemed to bother me, Brother Jay, when I was new in my Christian journey. I got saved and I didn't worry about any of the kind of church talk that was going on at the church. I never listened to it, never got involved in it. I never got bothered about the gossip, because if I had gotten involved with that, my fire that was burning would have been quenched and had been taken down. Oh, listen to me tonight. All I was concerned about and all you was concerned about was getting to church and just being with God. Oh, how we wish that I could get back to those days that when folks walk in the church, they're not worried about anything but getting to church and just spending time with Jesus. Amen. I do believe the church and know the church has lost its zeal for God and for the things of God. The text tonight tells us that the fire on the altar should never go out. The priest's job in the book of Leviticus was to make sure that there was a continual flame burning. Other scriptures detail, Brother Brian, the same thought. Keep the fire burning. The priests knew and believed that their worship and their sacrifice would be accepted by God if the fire was kept burning. The daily sacrifice was of the lamb. It was what it mainly referred to. The priest must take care of the fire that was upon the altar. The first fire upon the altar, it came right straight from heaven. And by keeping it continually burning, all sacrifices might be said to be consumed with fire from heaven and a token of God's acceptance. How many of you realize tonight that you saved out, Brother Clark? That's in the Old Testament. We don't come in the church. We don't put a fire on the altar. And we don't do that anymore. And I understand that. But I want you to understand the Word of God that tells me that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And I do believe tonight that the fire should be continually burning in our heart and in our soul. But it's sad tonight, Brother Brian, that the fire has gone out. It's sad tonight that the church world has lost something. Oh, we can live, Brother Joplin, on yesteryear blessing. And I thank God for the memories of yesteryear. But what about now? And what about tomorrow?
tomorrow? And what about the days ahead? I think it's time that we realize that we've lost something and we better get back to finding it. Amen. Amen. We find tonight in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 24, the first part of that says, "For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire." Hebrews 12 and 29 says, "For our God is a consuming fire." If you were to look and when the Holy Spirit fell, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. We can ask Jeremiah tonight, Brother Allen, in Jeremiah 20 and 9. Then said, "I will not make mention of him anymore." Let's stop right there a moment of time. Brother J.C., Jeremiah's going through a hard spell right here. There's a lot of hardship came on him. And you can look in your life tonight, and I've been there. I've been there, Brother Allen. That I think, man, I'm tired of this mess. I'm tired of this mess. I scream. God, it never was supposed to be this hard. It wasn't ever supposed to be like this. I'm sick and tired of being this way. God, if you'd give me permission, I'd kill some people. Amen. I'd just kill them graveyard dead. I've always wanted to have a cemetery out there by the church, and I'll put some of these super saints in the ground right out there. God, it ain't supposed to be this hard. I believe that's what Jeremiah was talking about when he said, "I'm not going to make mention of his name anymore. I'm not going to deal with it. I'm not going to worry about it." But he goes on to say, "But this word, Brother Allen, is in my heart as a fire that is shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay." In other words, it's this tonight. The times that I wanted to quit and the times that I wanted to throw in the towel, I'll come in, Brother Mike, and find me an altar of prayer. And all of a sudden, there's a churning that goes on. There's a stoking that goes on in the fire down in my soul. Some of the best preaching I've ever done, Brother Brian, has been to an empty building. I'll get up from an altar of prayer, lay a cordless microphone on my chin, and never turn the PA on. And I'll preach all over the house. Why is that? Because God has set my soul back on fire. How long has it been tonight since God set your soul on fire? How long has it been since you got carried away in the presence of God? Oh, Brother Clark, we don't do that anymore. You will if you get back to seeking after that you've lost. Amen. Amen. Praise God. What happened at the New Testament church, Brother Jeremy, when the Lord sent the Spirit of God down in Pentecost? Cloven tongues as fire set on them. Hey, and they were all filled with the power of God. And God moved in a great way in their life. And it was because of the power of God that these men changed and transformed the world. You got to understand, let me detour here. I'll get back to preaching. You got to understand there was a disappointment and a failure in the upper room that we would look at and say he was a disappointment and a failure. We talked about him. You talked about him, I believe, last night. The Apostle Peter, somebody did. He would look, you would seemingly, Brother Justin, he was a disappointment. He was a failure. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this Peter that told Jesus one day. He said, "I'm going to die with you. There ain't nobody going to go with you but me, but I'm going to go with you, and you won't have to worry about it. They all can forsake you, but God, you ain't going to have to worry. You ain't going to have to worry about me. I'm going to be there." And then when the going got tough and the tough got going, old Peter started cussing. He started denying the Lord. And then the rooster crowed. The Lord told him, he said, "Son, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times." And brother, when he denied him three times and he heard the rooster crow, he went out and the Bible said, and he wept bitterly. And oh, there was a disappointment and that there was a failure. You talked about it last night when he stepped out of the boat. Everything was fine when he was walking to Jesus, but he did take his eyes off of it, and God brought him back to the boat just like you said that he did. You could have looked at that as a disappointment, but oh, look at this same Peter. This is at the resurrection. They go down to the tomb. They go down there, and these women turn around and say, "Hey, the Lord told us that you go tell my disciples and Peter that I'm going to Galilee. You go tell my disciples and Peter." He mentions him by name. The lady run back and said, "Hey, fellas, he ain't going to believe this, but he's alive and well. He's alive and well. And he wanted me to tell you that he's going to meet you in Galilee." His old Peter, he's cowed down over here, Grant. He's like a failure. And they run over to him, Alan, and said, "Hey, he mentioned you by name. He wants you to come. He's not forgot about you." Oh, I'm thankful this afternoon that God never forgets about you. He never forgets about me when I fail or when I drop the ball, when I'm feeling like I'm hopeless. He still knows me by name. Amen. 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 And so now, They're in the upper room now.
Yeah.
And here's this disappointment and failure. He's not feeling too bad now. Brother Dole, because the Lord knows him by name.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the presence of God falls down on him.
Yeah. See what he does.
Now, who's the spokesman?
Come on.
Come on now.
Nobody but this old disappointment and failure. He gets up with the fire in him. He gets up with the fire in him. And he preaches, repent and be baptized and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and gives an altar call, and 3,000 walk and receive Christ. You go throughout the book of Acts, a few chapters over, he does it again, and all of a sudden, Brother Brian, 4,000 or 5,000 are saved. He's walking to the temple, being the hour of prayer. There's a lame man at the gate. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. What did he have? He had got something that was lost. And God brought the power and the fire back in his life. Well, I preach on that, but that ain't in the message tonight. But I want you to understand, throughout the book of Acts, Peter did a great and mighty thing for the kingdom of God. Tonight, he was not a disappointment and a failure. He was not one that we wanted to kick out on the trash heap. God took him and used him in a mighty, mighty way. Can you say amen to that tonight? Now let's get down to preaching. Seek it after something that you've lost. In the book of Luke's gospel tonight, a chapter number 15, we find it is a chapter, Brother Allen, of lost things. How important is it tonight? Now listen to this. How important is it when you lose something? You might say tonight, well, it depends on what it is that I have lost. And I would agree with that tonight. How many have gone things at home? Now, I've done this, Brother Justin. I've done this. I've put things up and I would say to myself, I will never forget where I put this. And guess what? I forgot. Anybody ever done that besides me? I think all five of you for being honest. The rest of you are lying. Amen. But some things you lose, it just don't matter. But some things that you do lose, it really matters. It doesn't. Hey, Brother Derek, it might not matter where I put that pocket knife that somebody gave me. That ain't going to have an impact in my life. I might forget where I put some certain thing. I might even forget where I stashed that $100 bill that I didn't want my wife to know I had. Oh, Brother Mike's with me on that deal there tonight. Because it's not going to benefit me anyhow if she knows I got it. If you're watching tonight, baby, I love you. God bless you and all. When I get home, I'll slap a dollar in your pocket. Amen. But when it comes to the church and we start losing things, we have a lack of concern and trying to find them. And that's going to present a problem. What he preached this morning, used to never be a problem in the church. Because we knew that God was number one. Before we done anything at all, he was going to be the head of the church. And now, Brother Brian, we've come in, and don't misunderstand me. I thank God for the modern conveniences that we have in the church. I'm thankful for cordless mics. I'm thankful for padded pews. I'm thankful for great PA systems. I'm grateful for great singers. But brother, without him, it is nothing. It's nothing. It all depends on what it is that we've lost. And you'd be right. But tonight in Luke chapter 15, we find three things that's lost. We find, and Jesus is speaking in parables. And he gives a parable of the lost sheep. He said, what man among you, if he had 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doeth he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he find it? And verse 5 said, and when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders rejoicing. Verse 6 says, and when he cometh home, listen, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Now he's got 100. He's bedding them down. He takes a head count. He's got 99.
Now, you know what we would have done? Boy, I got 99 of them. Woo! What's one? When I got 99 of them, all I had was 100, and I got 99, I'm good with 99. That's what's wrong with the church. Amen. We've got used to the 99. But let me tell you what he didn't do. He didn't say that. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put these down to bed, and I'm going to backtrack, and I'm going to go back, and I'm going to see if I can find that one that's lost. And so what does he do? It was important to him. When's it going to get important to the church again? When's it going to get important to bring the Holy Spirit of God back into the church? When's it going to get important enough to you to get a hold of God and pray through? We've lost the terminology of praying through. What is praying through, preacher? A praying through is staying with it until you pray through, until you touch heaven. And you don't quit praying then. You keep on praying until heaven turns around and starts touching you.
Amen.
We've lost that.
Yes, sir.
Hey, you can call. Hey, I guarantee you this is in most churches in America. We have prayer meeting before every service on Sunday morning. The men goes back into a room, and I'm going to tell you something. If you didn't poke, prod, and gouge them, they wouldn't come to the prayer meeting. They would not come. Why is it? Because it's not important. Some of the greatest preachers in history, some would visit their church. I don't know, brother. God just spoke this to me right now. If I'd known I was going this way, I'd have looked this up. But listen, is either Moody, Spurgeon, someone like that, attended his church one day. He had a powerful church. And they said, what makes your church so powerful? He took them down to the basement of the church. There's 50 to 100 people down there on their face before God, calling out to God. Why church is going on upstairs? Let me tell you, we've lost that in the church. We can have a spaghetti dinner. We can have a gospel concert. We can have a fellowship meeting. And people's going to come. But you call a prayer meeting, you ain't going to get many to come.
Amen.
Are you with me back here tonight? Why is it? Because it's not important. And it's the most important thing we can do. But Brother Buddy leaves the 100 or 99, and when he finds the one, oh my goodness, he goes into hysterical. He starts shouting her down. He starts rejoicing. Hey, he doesn't make the sheep walk back. He picks the sheep up, puts it on his shoulders. He's singing a tune all the way back to the 99. He's rejoicing. And when he gets back there, Brother Derek, he puts the one with the rest of the fold. And he goes out and he calls his family and he calls his friends and said, man, you ain't going to believe this. I found that little sheep. Let's rejoice together. Let's rejoice together. And let's be exceedingly glad. I believe tonight, Brother Brian, when we find something that we've lost, especially to the things of God, we ought to rejoice and be glad about it. We go on a little farther in the chapter, and we find a woman had 10 pieces of silver, and she lost one. Stay with me. She has 9. She lost one. And she could have said, well, I got 9 of them. Hey, she could have said, oh, it's around here somewhere. It'll turn up. It'll turn up because I lost it here. I ain't been nowhere. It's lost here, and it'll turn up somewhere. But that's not what she did. Oh, this is what she did. She got her a candle. And she started sweeping diligently the house. Oh, let's get right here. How long has it been since you started sweeping the house? How long has it been? Hey, Brother Justin, my wife every now and then says, honey, I need you to wash the windows. Thank you, honey. That's what I want to do today, is wash your windows. And then sometimes she says this, Brother Allen, honey, it's been a little while since we've turned that couch over and I swept and mopped underneath that couch. So what do? I grab the couch. We go over with it. And she sweeps and we mop behind it. She said, honey, I know you ain't going to like this, but that washer and dryer, you better pull that out. There's something growing back there, baby. We need to get that cleaned out. And we pull that washer and dryer out. And she sweeps diligently the mess. How long has it been
since you've been diligently seeking the things of God that God bestowed upon you that you've lost. And maybe you need to have a house cleaning. It looks good. Hey, Brother Derek, hey, if you can't see under the couch, you don't know that it's a mess. If you don't look behind the washer and dryer, you don't know that it's a mess. If you close the blinds, you don't see how dirty the windows are. And that's what we do in the church.
Come on.
The outside looks really good. But brother, when you start peeling some stuff back, it don't look good. And that's why that we've lost the things of God. That's good right there.
Yes, sir.
But you know what she does? She didn't give up till she found it. She diligently swept the house with a candle, with a light given from a candle. And she found it, and she did exactly what the man did that found the little sheep. She calls her friends together and says, "She ain't going to believe it. I found it. You ain't going to believe it. I found it." And what a time of rejoicing it was. And then lastly, we know the prodigal tonight. He left home, and when he comes back, what happens? A time of rejoicing. "This is my son that was lost is now found. This is my son that was dead and now is alive. Kill the fatted calf. Let's get a ring back on his finger. Let's get a robe back on him. Let's get shoes back on his feet. Let's kill the fatted calf. Let's eat and let's drink and let's be merry. Hey, let's have a time of rejoicing." I believe tonight if we could just find what we've lost in the church world, we'd have more rejoicing than we'd know what to do with.
Amen.
I believe that tonight. Now let's get to 2 Kings 6 and I'll wrap this up. How in the world are you going to tie it together? I'm going to try with the Lord's help. Brother Jeremy, a young prophet, wanted to help the building program that was going on in that time. The place where their accommodations, they had outgrew them. They'd be too straight for us, the Bible says. And so they go and he borrows an axe. And he goes down to help cut trees to build the new project. He's excited. Now, all this gets good. He's excited, Brother Allen, about the things of God. Oh, we get excited about the things of God. We're so busy working the plan. We're so busy working in ministry. And he was so busy cutting the trees that every once in a while, Brother Jay, he would miss hit. He would miss hit with that axe.
Amen.
He didn't hit the tree with the axe head. He hit the tree with the handle.
That's right.
And over time, that thing cracked.
Yep.
And it broke. And he neglected to examine the very tool that would make his dreams come true.
That's right.
And he's using it. And brother, he's cutting it. And then all of a sudden, he notices that the axe head, when he swings and it breaks off of the axe handle and it goes into the muddy waters of the River Jordan. He goes into a state of panic. I want you to understand, Brother Derek, there's times in my life and there's times in your problem ministry's life that we get so busy working in ministry that we forget to examine our source of power. We begin to examine, we neglect to examine our source of strength and the very thing that we need to make the thing come to pass. We break it off and we lose. We lose what? Oh, we look good. We go through the motion. Hey, Brother Joplin made it this morning. We get loud and we get boisterous, but there's no anointing in that.
Amen.
We've lost it.
Come on, brother.
We've lost it. He goes into a panic. He runs to the prophet and said, "Alas, master, I got a problem." "Well, what's your problem?" He said, "I lost this axe head, and it was a borrowed axe. It wasn't even mine. And what am I going to do?" Some of you sit here saying, "You know, I've lost. You know, I reflect back over time. I used to have a lot more joy than I've got right now. I used to have a lot more victory. You know what? I used to stand up and testify and have power, and tears would stream down my face. You know, I used to stand in the church and lift my hand. And you know, I used to, God get on me in a good church service and I'd shout the victory. But you know, it's been a long time since I've shouted.
It's been a long time since I've testified. It's been a long time since I've had hot tears stream down my face being burdened for the lost man or to give God honor and praise. It's been a long time. Just like the young man that lost his axe head, the man of God said, "Where fell it?" In other words, where'd you lose it? Show me where you lost it. Hey, I guarantee tonight, if you'll roll the scroll of time back in your mind, you can find exactly where you lost it. You can find exactly. You know where I lost it? I lost it, Grant, when I started watching that TV show on TV that I shouldn't have been watching. I tell you where I lost it. Hey, Brother Brian was talking. We was talking about this yesterday. Hollywood can mess up a good show.
Amen.
It can start out real good, brother. It can, boy, ain't nothing going on in it that's really wrong. And then all of a sudden they got to throw a homosexual couple in it.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
Or they got to do, or they got to start cussing in it. They can totally ruin it. But instead, when that starts happening, reaching up and turning it, oh, well, hey, that's just the way the time is now. That's just the way the time is. And when you start doing that, you're going to lose something.
Amen.
You're going to lose something. It may be that music you listen to. It may be that place that you used to never would go, but now you're going.
Amen.
We poke fun and... Is Jaquita in here tonight? There she is. Her and I poke fun because Brother Jeremy's got us in the hotel over here. And right across the street is the casino. And we poke fun at each other about going to the casino. But I don't want to go in there because I might know somebody. Hey, they might be somebody in there that's in this meeting this week. Hey, I don't want to go in places like that because God ain't going to go in there with me. And I don't need to go anywhere that he ain't welcome to go in with me. That's good preaching right there. But what's happened is we've started doing that kind of thing and we've lost something and it just don't mean like it used to mean to us. Hey, don't you think it's time tonight that you seek after that which you've lost? And he said to him, he said, "Where'd you lose it at?" He said, "I lost it right here. This is where it fell in." And let me tell you what the enemy will tell you. The enemy told that young prophet, he said, "Boy, it's lost. It's down there in the muddy waters of Jordan. It's buried under the mud in the bottom. You'll never see it again. What do you think that old or that axe handle or that axe head's going to do to you when you come back and tell him that you've lost it?" But the man of God went over and he cut another stick and he threw that stick in where the old axe head fell in. And the Bible says, you know what happened, Brother Allen? A gravity had to give way. A gravity had to let go of that old axe head. It come up out of the mud. It surfaced to that muddy water in Jordan and it sat there and bobbed up and down like a cork. And the man of God looked at the young prophet and said, "Take it." Amen. He said, "Take it." And you know what he did? He took out his hand and he took it.
Glory.
Now listen to me tonight. The Lord's telling you, it's right here. What you've lost is right here. The question is, are you going to take it? Are you going to take it? Don't you think it's time tonight we seek after that which we've lost? Have you lost something tonight? Have you lost something tonight? Hey, Brother Jay, I love my church. I got Brother Mike Froud here with me. Super, super guy. Plays music in our church. Got Brother Tim Sluter. He's doing the live streaming part of our church. He sings. He's a blessing of God. But I'm going to tell you something. If our church is not careful, if your church is not careful, wherever it is that you go, and you start losing something and you don't find it, you'll not be what you one time used to be. Brother Jay, I can go back home. I can go back home. Most of my preaching, Brother Derek, and you know this, you guys know this, is not in Northwest Arkansas. I've been there for almost 23 years. I rarely get to preach around my home. I go back to where I'm from, and I preach a lot there. But I go to churches that I used to go to. They used to throw songbooks and dropkick babies. They're happy. They're happy. But you go back there now, and it's a shell. It's a shell. Because they've lost something. And they're not concerned enough to find what they've lost. That's what's wrong with the church. We're not concerned. We're not concerned. We're not concerned enough, brother. Boy, you blessed my heart today. To go out in the woods and just sit there and say, God, I ain't moving. I ain't saying nothing. I ain't moving. I'm going to sit here with my eyes shut. I'm not going to worry about any of the elements around me. My mind is totally, my heart is totally focused on you. And God, I want you to manifest yourself to me in some way. And brother, he made mention this morning, I'm not going to redo your message tonight because I don't want to mess it up. Sometimes he said, nothing happened. Nothing happened. But he was still diligent to go there and to want to spend time with God. And then he said, one day, God rolled back the glory world and brought it down upon my life. Oh, my God in heaven, we ought to have a desire to say, God, roll back the glory world and blow it down on me. Send down your glory. Send down your power. It don't matter what my denomination thinks about me because, brother, they didn't call me. Amen. They didn't anoint me. God, all that matters is what you think. And God, if you'll just empower me, I never want to lose, God, anything that you give me.
Amen.
Amen. Wow. I bless my own self preaching tonight. Brother, Sister Amber, after our camp meeting, God touched her in the camp meeting. God touched her in the camp meeting. I watched her one morning in a morning service. She come into the altar. Did y'all sing that morning? I don't know if you did or not. Don't matter. Don't matter. She come into the altar that morning. And she tarried there. She got the ladies around her there. And we were going to let them pray. And finally, Brother Brian, your wife looked up at me and said, just dismiss. We're going to stay a while. And so I asked the people to go reverently go out and let these ladies pray. Your wife said, ladies, let's all pray in the Spirit. Let's all pray with power.
Yeah.
Brother Doyle, we dismiss the service. I'm standing at the back, right by the soundboard, right as we get ready to go out of the auditorium. Something happened around the altar.
Yeah, it did.
I heard praying like a pack of dogs running.
Old-fashioned
praying. You know, like we used to have, Brother Jay, when we'd have an altar of prayer. We'd call folks into the altar, and Brother Grant, they'd pray. Hey, I've heard men pray like preachers preached. They'd hack, oh God, I need your presence tonight. And they'd hack, and they're praying. You say, well, that ain't good. It felt really good to me.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
It might not have sounded pretty, but it was feeling really good.
Yeah.
And I know it ain't all in the feeling, but I like feeling. Amen.
He shows up with feeling.
That's right. But something happened in that altar that day. And the next thing I know, they are shouting her down.
Amen.
And I don't know your situation. And you got on there and put a nice thing on, or you just open yourself up. It blessed me. Man, that blessed me. And I don't know what she needed, but God did. God did. And I'd almost guarantee you, and she and I haven't had this conversation, I'd almost guarantee you next time she stood to sing, she stood a little more freer than she did before she sang. She sang with a little more drive. It might have been, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, Sister Amber, but you might have been seeking after something you might have lost. You might have been discouraged. You might have been depressed. You might have felt defeated. You might have felt insignificant. But God passed by and told you that you're His child.
Amen.
And that makes all the difference in the world.
Yes, sir.
So tonight, let me ask you a question. Have you got something you need to seek after?
Yes, sir.
I'm not talking about a second work of grace. I'm not talking. Now, if you're lost, you need to be seeking a Savior.
Amen. Amen.
You need a Savior. But I'm talking about a child of God. Brother Clark, I'm empty. Brother Clark, I'm barren. Brother Clark, I'm broken. And I didn't used to be this way. But something happened to me over time, and I've lost something. I've lost something. The priest's job was to keep the fire continually burning upon the altar. In that day, Brother Allen, it was believed that God would accept that worship.
Yes, sir.
God wants us to keep the fire continually burning.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Some days it's going to burn hotter than others, but we've got to keep it burning.
Amen.
Sister Amber, would you ladies come? Brother Grant, would you come? Thank you tonight. Thank you tonight for letting me be here. From the onset of this service, Brother Jeremy, God has been here in a special way. He was here in a special way this morning, in a really special way. But He's here again tonight.
Amen.
And one thing about the Lord, He knows where you're at. He knows. He knows. And I know the enemy comes and tries us and tempts us and messes with every one of us in this room. I know that. In some way, whether it be spiritually, whether it be physically, whether it be personally, He sends some kind of storm or some kind of trial to mess with us. And so many times we focus on that instead of focusing on Him. It's time tonight, whatever it is that you're dealing with, it's time that you inform what you're dealing with. That God's bigger than that. He's bigger than that. And it's time that you get back something that you've lost.
Amen.